Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, listening audience. Thank you for tuning in to Talk Straight and being a part of a national dialogue designed for proactive change. This is your host, Reverend Dr. Reuben Dockery. I'm grateful again to engage each and every one of you in very important conversation. I need your help as I endeavor to take this message and the conversation we share on air to targeted cities and urban areas across America with the hope and desire to improve the quality of lives by engaging communities and proactive strategies. You can be of great help by going to our webpage, www.bfcinstitute.com. Click on the donation tab or the contact us tab and find ways that you can assist us by either purchasing our items or just making a donation on our secure PayPal site. If you are a business or someone who would like to make a corporate level contribution and you would like more information, please give me a call at 615-498-4669 or send me an email at bfcinstitute@gmail.com. That's bfcinstitute@gmail.com, or give us a call at 615-498-4669. We are glad to share with you and provide you all the necessary information to help you make the decision to support us in our traveling lecture series.
Good evening and welcome to another episode of Talk Straight. This is yours truly, Reverend Dr. Reuben Dockery. Grateful that you can join us again. Tonight we continue our conversation on the topic of theology and the role that it plays in a viable, functioning community and its identity. We're grateful that you've joined us tonight. If you're brand new to the talk show, welcome. And we welcome you after we do a monologue, about a 15-minute monologue, and after which we open up our phone lines to our listening audience. I see we have some people in queue already. Pastor Ricky Walla is our regular panelist, and he will be joining us as well, I expect, tonight. And we're going to continue our conversation. The number to call us here live and participate in the conversation is 657-383-0944. Again, that number is 657-383-0944. And if you will bear with us, we will again offer our monologue. It provides some context for our conversation tonight, and that's a point of reference that we'll always come back to. Building Families and Communities Institute is the sponsor of this podcast broadcast, and basically this is a national dialogue that we're holding, and we're endeavoring to take it now to 12 cities. And we're going to be actually hearing from a guest from St. Louis, two guests actually next month. Two of our guests that will come on will be from the St. Louis area. And we've heard from Mississippi, we've heard from Bessemer, Alabama, we've heard from people in Chicago, we've heard from people in Indiana, I believe it was. And so we're grateful again that you join us. And again, this is Talk Straight. Tonight, our topic is urban theology, conflicting voices of influence. Now, during our last episode, the panel began to discuss the fact that there is somewhat of a mutated strand of belief within the urban experience. Now, when it comes to unity and who represents the significant voices of influence, but tonight we will delve deeper into the nature of this division and the mistrust that is seen and that often leads to separation and social degradation within urban neighborhoods and communities. All right, so this is an academic discussion. And I hope it does not offend anyone, but our intention is to look at the facts and to see how we can make a difference for those who are negatively affected by the impact of these things. All right, so we're grateful again for you tuning in with us, and without further ado, I'll get to my monologue. And we, again, the number to call us here live, 657-383-0944. Let me thank those of you that are tuning in on Facebook who are chiming in. Feel free to respond to our question thread and as well as submit your questions via Facebook as well. Alrighty. So, again, we are talking from the topic tonight, urban theology, conflicting voices of influence. And as I promised, we're going to explain how and why, but I will not leave you without an answer as to how to fix this problem. Because as we said, that's what the year of 2018 we've been focusing on, is providing some solutions and how we can address these issues that we point out. So we won't just leave you with a problem, open Pandora's box and leave you hopeless without a problem. We'll hopefully leave you with an answer, response to the issues that we bring up tonight. Amos, the third chapter, verses 1 through 3 reads, "Hear this word that the Lord has spoken against you, O children of Israel, against the whole family which I brought up from the land of Egypt, saying, you only have I known of all the families of the earth. Therefore I will punish you for all your iniquities. Can two walk together except they be agreed?" During a 2017 broadcast, the concept of ghetto trap syndrome, GTS, which is a socially economically engineered disease where one is born in a broken home, lives in a poor community, receives a substandard education, is exposed to acts of violence, and forced to feel as though they always have to be on the ready to kill or be killed. This was coined by yours truly, Reverend Dr. Reuben Dockery. And I introduced it to the podcast audience then. Well, whenever there is an absence of or a breakdown in the cultural leadership of a group of people, ghetto trap syndrome is likely to be manifested. All indications of theological teachings that are most common to urban American neighborhoods are that the Creator, Jehovah the Lord God, positioned the father figure in the family to be a priest, a provider, a protector of women and children, and the family as an extended community of families. Tragically, the father priest role has become null and void in far too many urban American homes. There is a consequence. Typically, the structure of religious worship in the church, if you will, and the performances within those urban churches is designed along the lines to empower one male, the preacher, the pastor, to have authority over everyone else, men, their women, and their children as well, are the answer to this one figure. Well, unfortunately, that structure has not proven to be most beneficial nor effective for many Afro-American males in particular. And as a consequence, we've seen over the last 60, 70 years or better, a wave of people, particularly black men, leaving the black church structure. Not only are black men leaving that traditional theology, but the breakdown in the family structure that leaves women and children now prey to the vultures of the air have caused women and children to question, if not totally leave it altogether as well. So it begs the question about the nature of the theological position on the security and the welfare of the family. Now, as we examine this mutated theology of urban America, intellectual honesty should prompt us to recognize that there is an emergence of three character types who many people in urban America, in these neighborhoods, hold suspect as being the culprits behind the demise of the family, the church, and the community as a whole. Those characters are the preacher, the politician, and the pimp. The preacher, the politician, and the pimp. It begs the question, what is the relationship between these three character types? Well, let's look at it for a second. Generally, a preacher is recognized as one who often who professes the good news of salvation. They provide hope in the faith of the believer in God that he will resolve your issues, and that if there's anything you have an issue with, he'll fix it for you if you only believe. Now, unfortunately, not everybody, but too many people have taken a position, particularly those in urban neighborhoods. The word on the street is that that preacher is just out to look out for his own interest, and he'll use you to get that. And the only thing he really wants is your money in the form of tithes and offering. Don't really care about what goes on outside of that. That may not be a fair characterization for everybody, but let's be realistic. It exists. All right? The idea exists. Now, we see this when you go to funeral homes and you see mothers crying over the loss of their sons and daughters even now before they reach the age of 25. We see this at juvenile courts when we see babies strung and chained and bound and before the courts. We see this in poverty stricken neighborhoods, and we see this manifested with health department reports of sickness and disease and so forth and so on that is most prevalent in precincts, political precincts that are predominantly African American within these urban neighborhoods. That's not to say it doesn't happen in rural areas or suburban areas. We're talking about urban America right now. That is most prevalent according to all the data and statistics that are out there. All right? Another once trusted figure in the urban American community is the politician. A person who is professionally invested and involved in politics, especially as a holder or even a candidate for an elected office. But when they fail to adequately represent the interest of their constituents, the people that they rely on voting for them to get them in office, they cause those people to become hardened, to be frustrated, and left without a sense of hope, right? And those people tend to believe that you are nothing but a manipulative, devious rascal who simply want me to vote for you to advance your political gain, help you in your political gains, that you can't be trusted. Now, as a result of this, two things happen typically. People who are members of that political community, that's what makes you a citizen, by definition, according to Black's Law Dictionary, those people become apathetic toward the political process. In other words, they don't care. I don't care. They're going to do what they want to anyway. That's the saying. In addition to that, some are just totally unaware or ignorant to their rights and the power that they vote have. Now, Frederick Douglass would argue that if you don't take advantage of that right, then you have little to no voice in the community in which you are a citizen. All right? Then lastly, let's consider that when people lose faith and trust in those two institutions, the church and government, church being represented by the preacher, government being represented by the politician, that you leave room for exploitation. Genesis, the third chapter in the first verse, describes the serpent as a deceptive creature, a tricker, a slickster, a hustler, somebody that's able to promote the truth of God's word as something real or good, even though God forbade it, and was able to manipulate and cause woman to be left out in the cold, lost and turned out. Today, we can attribute those characteristics of that behavior to the pimp, a manipulative male who uses the vulnerability of a young girl often, who is looking for love in all the wrong places because her father's gone. There is a breakdown in the educational structure and the theological structure and the economic structure of her community, and she feels like she got to get out there and get it on her own. Now, I'm going to tell you what I call a pimp. This is doctor speaking now. A punk that's invested in messing up poor young girls. That's what a pimp is. But let me, for a second, before we go to the phone lines, I want y'all to hear from the Whispers. And they talk about a young lady who got caught up in this game. And this may best describe what we're talking about right now. Talk Straight. This is your host, Reverend Dr. Reuben Dockery. Our phone lines are open, 657-383-0944. We'd love to hear your question or comment. We only ask that you keep it relevant to our conversation and that we be respectful of one another. Pastor Ricky Waller, how you doing, sir?
Hey, I'm good. Thank you. How you doing, Pastor Dockery?
Mighty fine, mighty fine. I got my good friend out of Selma, Alabama, Brother Beverly L. Good evening, sir. How you doing?
Doing all right. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir. We can hear you well. We can hear you well. Welcome to Talk Straight tonight. All right. We got roll call going on here. 3072, a.k.a. Professor Mika. How you doing tonight?
Oh, I'm good. I'm good.
Good. She advocated for that the other night. And then we have my good friend, 8112, out of Peoria, Illinois. Welcome to Talk Straight tonight. How are you tonight?
Yes, sir. Thank you so much, Pastor. How are you guys?
Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. Now, I'm going to get it going. I'm going to get it going because Olivia is real. And the baby was only, Brother Beverly L., trying to go to Grandmama's house and get some good cooking, I imagine. But on her way, she got lost and turned out. And I believe that that's largely because of the conflicting voices of influence. Y'all heard me talk about those three character types that have emerged historically in the urban American community. What say you, Brother Beverly L.?
Well, I was kind of discussing that this evening. I'm eat at a community kitchen, and I was telling the young ladies in there tonight that when I first understood exactly what you are talking about was when I was my first child was coming into being, and I was in the church with my dad, and he was throwing a workshop, and the mother was slamming the doors and stuff at the church, and I was getting very frustrated, and my father slowed me down to understand that young females are energy and that the males are thought. So if the women are getting lost and turned out, I think it's on the brothers because they the one are the leading, you know, thought process.
Okay. Well, hold on, Don. Hold on. You on it, man. You on it. What about that 30-72?
I'm kind of with Don. I mean.
Pastor, we in trouble, man. Look like we're going to be pinned against the wall tonight. Come on, 8112. What you say about it?
I knew you was going to tap my hands up against the wall. I tried not to. My goodness. I disagree.
You just okay. Explain to him. Explain to us why you disagree.
There you go again, Pastor.
I'm not putting you on the spot. Go ahead.
Oh, yes, you did. But I will say this, I respect you, and I thank you for acknowledging my opinion. You can't put everything on the mother. Most, as y'all call me, I ain't never been to Africa, but I call myself the other one, so I will put it like this. Most women that raise their children in single home family turn out the most best children in the world. The most kids with two parents. So, therefore, I wouldn't say it's like that.
I see. So, may I ask you, though, what do you base your theory on or your assertion? That
my
most
theory,
that compared to two-parent homes,
I just
what do you
tuned
base
in, but my theory is this.
Okay.
I know we all have our own opinions.
Yes, ma'am.
And I got my own, because, see, I am a single mother.
Okay.
And I raised 7 children, but I thought I was by myself, but I was never alone. God had my back. And so they turned out, most of them, all of them, beautifully. And they try, and they believe in my father, so our father. So I cannot say nothing against that, because I've been blessed. Everybody is not. Well, blessed because they don't have that faith to hold on to. That's my theory. And it's not just an opinion. It's my lifestyle.
I agree with you.
Okay. All right. Pastor Waller, go ahead. Go ahead, Pastor Waller. Were you going to say something? Was that you or was that Don?
No, it wasn't me. I don't know who it was. But
okay, Don,
you know,
what were you
going to
say? All right, hold on 1 second.
I hear exactly.
Y'all tongue tied?
Pastor, I hear exactly. Hello?
Go ahead, Don. Go ahead, Don. Go ahead.
I hear
exactly
what she's when she pulled back to God, I certainly agree. That's the only father we have is God.
Okay. Well, now that's interesting, Pastor Waller, because and we've had Professor Robinson to join us the conversation. Welcome, Professor. Come right back to you, Professor.
Thank you.
In a minute. But that's interesting, Pastor Waller, that everybody is saying that in the absence of the father that God put in the home. And then the presence of the preacher who, with all due respect to the preacher, I'm one of, and I'm a politician, who have failed to adequately represent the church and its place in the community and the family, as well as the in the place of those two things, we're saying we did all right. But we see now the fact that a lot of young people are literally dying, if not going to jail. Many of them are dying a physical and a social death because of the lack of proper representation in the church institution, in the government, and on the streets. We got this pimp running around turning little girls out. Now, everything ain't right. Everything ain't all right, is it? Not for everybody anyway. I mean, maybe I'm wrong. Pastor Waller, what do you say about that?
Well, I got to raise my hand and just say I'm guilty, but I thank everybody for having something to say. You know, because I haven't always been a preacher, so I have to say that I got turned out before she was turned out.
Mm-hmm.
And as a result of that, you know, I played a role in that. Now, do I charge myself with that, or do I charge her with that because she's on her way to grandmother's house? Well, just remember, you know, the game was presented to me at an early stage because there is a lot of game going on out in the real world.
Mm-hmm.
And learning how to play and happen to adopt the game, you become a part of the not knowing and willing to learn. And so that happened to me, and I don't want to share a whole lot about it because I got it pinned in my book. You know, I had a part to play in that. But however, today, if I can come on up to speed with it, you know, I have the utmost respect for a woman today that I didn't have back then because I didn't respect myself. In other words, I was tuned out. And as I say, I was participating in that and played a major role in it, man. But when I came to myself, I realized that. You know, that it's going on. It's a lot of game, and some of them pretty girls out there are on their way, wherever they're going, to grandmother's house or to wherever they're going at, and it's still the game is being played. Now,
right.
Did I cause the women that I was affiliated with to become what they became? Well, I have to say I played a role in it. But remember,
okay.
I said this, Pastor, and I'm going to turn it back over to you. I was turned
okay.
out first.
Okay.
You see?
Okay.
Yeah.
So you were victim
man.
Too.
I mean,
so you were victim of circumstance too.
Yes.
That's what I'm saying. Okay. All right. Duly noted. Let me, yes. Professor. You question or comment before we move any further?
I'm enjoying the conversation and thanks for allowing me to participate. I have so many things I want to say. One is. At some point, if we can agree that facts matter, and then if we can align around a set of facts that we can agree that we use this as a way to measure and monitor how we're doing. The other is I'm a business coach with SCORE, and I work with small business owners. And when I look at the church, I look at it as a business, and when we look at young people, these are customers. And what value proposition is this business offering to attract these customers? Somebody's offering a value proposition that's attracting them to be turned out and to choose other options and other alternatives. What value proposition are we offering, not just the church, but what value proposition are we offering to attract them to the lifestyle that we believe that we know drives positive outcomes?
I get you.
I don't.
Okay. What were you saying there, 8112?
I said I disagree because when you go to the church, to me, you're supposed to look for the Divine Father for the end that we need upon all our children. It's not just a scientific thing. This is called reality.
Okay.
I live on planet Earth. I don't know where nobody else comes from, but that's where I come from. I raised my children the way I was taught to raise.
I don't mean to be rude and cut you off, but you said
it's
something
okay.
that was interesting. I want to ask you a question. I'm a pastor myself, and I said I'm two of these characters that we're talking about hits me. I've never been a pimp and don't ever want to be a pimp, okay?
And I ain't never been a pimp, too.
All right, good. But my point is, I currently serve in a role as a pastor, as a preacher,
mm-hmm.
and have participated in the political process as a candidate for political office.
Yes,
but
sir.
My intentions were not as those that many have been accused of. There's evidence of that. Now, I want to speak to your position about you said that you believe that we should just trust God for the answers. Did I characterize your sentiment right?
Yes, sir, you did.
Okay. Now, what does that mean? What does it mean to trust
that means
God?
That means to me. When I sound like I'm angry, I'm really not angry.
No, that's okay, darling.
That
you know we love you. You know we love you. Go on. Say it like it's on your heart.
When I sound like I'm angry, it's not because I'm angry.
is because I'm sadden at the heart because a lot of people put these children, as we speak, young African Americans or who, what urban or urban American, however you want to name it. I speak as I speak. I speak the truth from my heart, and I know this: without God, you can do nothing.
I agree.
People can talk all the talk they want to talk. It ain't going to change a thing because we got to put prayer in these kids' hearts for them to understand because most of them don't get this. They ain't getting it because nobody taught it to them.
This is true.
If you are taught that, we do as we know, sir. It's what I'm trying to say. I don't mean no disrespect to anyone.
No, you're fine. You're fine.
I mean, just what I'm saying, I said loudly and proudly. I still say, give it to my father, and he will help us to figure it out. Once we give it to him, he's going to lay out that work for us. It may be hard. You may not understand it. And one day you're going to put it in front of your face, and you're going to say, I got what you was trying to tell me to do or say.
I got you.
And I say it right all the time, but it'll come around. You'll come around.
All right.
I'll come around.
Now your point is duly noted and well received. I would like to add to what you're saying. I agree with you that we have to teach young people the Word of God. We have to teach them to have faith. We have to teach them to believe. Right? But
yes, sir.
That same theological framework tells us to study to show ourselves approved.
Mm-hmm.
But some of us don't know how to study,
Hold on 1 second. Follow me, okay? Just for a second.
I will. Hold my hand. Hold my hand.
It tells us to study to show ourselves. When I look at what the word study means, that means I have to go back and consider something 8112 that has been written or documented, something that has stayed as a tool of instruction, right?
Yes, sir.
Well, the same thing applies when you hear me speak as a social scientist, as well as a preacher, about research and about things that have been well documented to be useful and productive and good for anybody's well-being. And a lot of times we use the record, which is in the form of statistics and the form of reports and things of that nature, to help us understand what has happened in the past, what's going on now, and how that information can inform us to do better in the future. Does that make sense?
I don't understand, because what if you was taught that scientists don't believe in God?
Not all scientists.
And that's all I know. Asking the question.
Okay. All right. Some scientists don't believe in God. But you're talking to a social scientist.
Not all.
You're talking to a social scientist right now who does.
All right. And I'm just asking you, if you were taught, not taught so much as, and you learn what you learn. As I said, people do as they know to do. But everybody...
Right.
Somebody teaches you, tells you this and that, like you go to school and your teacher tells you, you don't do this. You correct your parents when they're speaking improper grammar, not cursing or anything. And you go home and you get spanked because you said, my teacher said this and your parents said that. So children get confused along the way.
I agree.
I was one of those kids.
Now, okay, I don't want to cut. We have quite a few people online, so I don't want to leave everybody else. But let me just briefly respond to your point, and then if you know you come back if you need to. Here's what we're talking about. That's our whole conversation when we talk about those three pillars of community. We talk about how do we balance what a parent teaches their children at home based on their religious beliefs or identity, versus what should be taught in the school, in the formal educational setting, particularly in terms of discipline of children, showing respect to adults and teachers, as well as how do we drive a thriving community for our neighborhoods and our children and our family. So that's really all a part of the whole conversation. Tonight we're just talking about the urban theology the belief system that drives what goes on. And what we're discovering is that there are some conflicting ideas about what we should be, what we should do, who should lead the family, who should be recognized, and who is the voice of authority. All right, let me do this. We got a new caller, 1080. How you doing, sir? Welcome to the conversation. Talk straight.
All right, how's it going, everybody?
Great, great.
How
I know you
doing?
Just joined in. So let me ask Pastor Waller right quickly. Brother Beverly, you still there?
Yes.
Sir?
All right.
Yes.
Is that you, Brother Beverly? You still there?
Yes, sir. Listening.
Okay. All right. Here's the question, Pastor Waller, I want to ask, and I want to hear from Brother Beverly and then Professor Robinson, if you don't mind. I think that's going to be an interesting combination. So, Pastor Waller, I'm going to throw it at you, and then I want you to respond. Then I want to hear from Brother Beverly out of Selma. And then I want Professor Robinson to come in. I think you guys may find this to be particularly interesting. Now, what we're finding, Don, is that it seems like the brothers are wrong, Don. We got our backs against the wall because we done something wrong here, Don. And so let me throw this question out here, and hopefully we can get this thing right before tonight. I'm gonna give you a position on how to solve this problem with this trifecta of the preacher, the politician. All right, before we leave tonight, here's the question, Don. Do you know why it is that so many people don't like the preacher today? Why they don't hold the politician to be trustworthy and honest? Watch this, Don. And why so many of them don't run the pimp out of the community? Go ahead, Pastor Waller.
Well, I tell you, man, this is an awkward position that I had myself in. I know that. You know, as I said, you know, I growing up and living the lifestyle of street life, you know, it's up to me to remind the viewers that I haven't always, again, been a preacher.
Mm-hmm.
But however, you know, I like to speak truth about what it is and not just my opinion. I would only say my experience and what it is happened to me. And
fair enough.
I mentioned earlier that I penned it in a book, and the chapter of this particular topic that you're talking about in my book is called A Cry for Help. And I heard a young lady say earlier about taking things to God that he'll work it out. I heard her say that. Mm-hmm. And to let you know, sister, you're right on target with that, because other than that, I probably would still be out there at a 60-year-old man still pimping if I didn't know what I know now.
Okay.
And in that call, I said, as I began to look back over my past, I think about all the things I used to do, from selling and using drugs to pimping women to gambling, just to name a few. I realized that my lifestyle was so dead on me. So what I'm saying is this.
After
knowing that my lifestyle was closing in on me, then and only then did I have the opportunity to change. Change didn't come when I wanted it to, but it came right on time. So I would suggest that if a person don't know, you know what I mean, you have to admit that you don't know. But I had a taste of it, and then later on in the book, I was able to ask those women to forgive me for those that was around, and they all did. Based on my being ignorant, I didn't know any better. I was lost myself, and then, as I say, I was turned out early. And it happens because there is a game going on, and how to prevent it, you know, it's going to be up to the person who's out there listening to the game. When they hear the game, are they interested in what they hear, or can they just walk on by as if I'm going to leave you standing there even though I'm on my way to grandmother's house? Am I able to just continue without listening to it? Well, I tell you about this, what I just said, I wasn't able to get by it. It was too strong.
Okay.
It was attractive. It was powerful. You know what I mean? I didn't go to church either. I wasn't doing no church stuff either. So, you know, I knew what it says. You're either cold or you're hot. I wasn't lukewarm. I wasn't just pretending to be on God's side and all that stuff. I didn't do that. So it's a tough position that you got me in, Pastor. But now, you know,
you can
thank
have,
God for the
you can have.
Him, man.
Yeah, hey, listen.
I had let most
listen, Pastor Waller,
today.
Yes, I just put your book up on the Facebook screen so people can see the front and the back cover. You can find this on our website in our back store at www.bfcinstitute.com. Go to the back store, listen over contact, and you'll see back store. That book is there. When you make a contribution, one of the things he and I are working on doing is getting the information out. It was asked, how do you quantify it? How do you document it? Well, this is one of the things. This is a real-life story. So let me turn to Brother Don there and say, Don, what do you think about that, man? Why don't they trust the preacher? Why do they hold a politician untrustworthy? And why won't they run the pimp out of the community?
Mr. Dockery, our community been misguided, and I think that we as a community got thrown off basis as when we lost our brother Dr. King. We got thrown off, you know, as a movement politically soon as he was assassinated, and there was conflicting voices in our community, and and at that time, you know, at that time and date, Mr. Docker, I probably, as young as I was, I didn't pretty much understand what was going on. But as time went by, like I like what the Reverend said, the good Lord will step in and open your eyes and show you the direct way.
Right.
So that's what happened to me, too. I was lost in turnout, and the good Lord stepped in and sent me in a whole different other direction. So,
hold my hand.
So,
Lord
have mercy.
Hold on.
3072. Right quick, then we'll go to Professor 3072. Go ahead, 3072. You got something to say. Professor,
I love all of what everybody is saying about God, you know, turning them back in when they were turned out. But consider this. Why is it, and I'm just posing a question, why is it when people get to their oldest years that they can, you know, harden not their heart then? Is it because maybe they washed up and they have no other recourse but to listen? And do you get what I'm saying? I mean, it's like 50, 40. Why can't they be 20? Why can't, I mean, when
they
still have something? Yeah, I mean, that's odd. That's odd.
Can I say something?
Hold on right there. Hold on, 3072. Let me go to Professor first.
No, 81,
good, 12. Get that question, 3072. That's a good question.
Hold on,
Professor Robinson.
I mean.
No. Pastor, let her say what she had to say.
Okay. All right. Go ahead, 3072. So your question is, why is it that you wait till you're old, worn out, drawn out and dried up before you want to be
like that?
Wait a minute. Wait. Hold on. So listen. The other part of my question is, so is it God that's got your ear, or is it a reality, or is it life slapping you in the face, showing you, nigga, you ain't got half the play you used to have. So you have no other choice but to sit down somewhere, right? Go find a church.
Women too.
You got something out there?
Hey, listen. Professor Mika,
go ahead.
You done dropped a bomb on here.
Yes.
Just wait a minute, okay? Hold still for a second.
You probably have some women that probably will still get on the pole, but they can't get up there no more.
Okay,
so,
stop right there. Come on, Professor Mika. Now hold on. All right, go ahead, Professor Robinson. Let the real professor know.
Professor Mika, okay.
Yes, Professor Robinson.
I'm gonna preface this by saying I've been told that I approach a lot of things from my head and not from my heart. And so I tend to focus on facts, figures, data, because those are things that are real actionable or that can lead.
Where your daddy at? Go get him.
Okay, go ahead, Professor.
But to answer the question, a big part of it is that we are very comfortable in our lives, and to challenge these authority figures, we're placing ourselves in a very uncomfortable position. And especially if we don't believe that we have the knowledge, the skills, the tools to confront, and so instead we become apathetic and or we challenge just to challenge. But it's, you know, we should hold politicians accountable. We have to hold them accountable. We have to hold pastors and preachers accountable also. That's something that we have to do. It's not easy, but it's taking ourselves out of our comfort zones when we say, here's what we expect of you. We're entrusting you, and you report to us. We don't report to you. You report to us. You are our employee, and we are going to tell you what we want you to do and how we want you to do things.
Hmm. Yeah, well, that's powerful. Because you know what? Okay, I'm coming to you. Hold my hand, 8112. I'm coming right to you. Give me one second. Professor, I like what you're saying, because this is what happens so often. The people that put the offering and the tithes in the church and that pay their taxes feel powerless. But if you don't give your money, both of those institutions crumble. You get all the power. You just don't know how to use it. That's all. And that's where your point is so well taken, that people have to learn how to find the tools to empower themselves to use that which they have. Let me go to 8112 before she beat me up. Go ahead, 8112.
Okay. Oh, my goodness. I'm rubbing my head, my forehead, and everything. I like what the lady said. I like what the professor said. So it's all about us being in agreement of one thing. But my feelings is like this, and I speak open-heartedly, as I keep saying, is that, okay, how do you trust the people in the church? I found myself falling short. Been raised in church all my life. I found myself scared to go to church, but I hold church in my house like my mama used to do in her house. And I had to search my heart.
Okay.
If some of y'all don't know what I'm talking about, I know what I'm talking about. When I had to search in my heart, myself in my own home, as I was raised as a kid in the house, because my mother used the old church in the house. So I got that part. But how do you trust a preacher when one day he's dressed up so fine in the beautiful clothes, Lucifer came like that, and he's still here walking around today? And he speaks. And some of the church members, if you go in there with shabby clothes on, because they're dressed in the finest things, maybe you ain't got. And they talk about you. And the kids talk about you even as you as a child. That's kind of hard. How do you trust them? You don't trust them. You trust the divine Father in the spirit, and he going to lead you all the way. That's how you don't have to trust them, because they are men. They are men. And him
well,
is
now, yeah. Well, now, but should you?
Reverend
Doctor. Go ahead.
I have to jump in. We are relationship creatures. That's how we get things. We value relationships. We want to feel valued. You can't say that we're not going to trust people. We have to trust people.
Yes, we do.
That's just how we are going to survive. Now, you can, you know, build systems and processes so
you're
that you,
people,
you know.
The pastors, the ministers, the bishops, the popes, and the popes is...
Hey, professor.
Well, why shouldn't we trust them?
Professor, can I chime in?
Yes, ma'am. Go ahead,
and I'm being serious this time. And I can kind of get a sense from where 8112, if that's the number, is coming from. For me, I've had some kind of bad things happen too in the church that I grew up with. Now, where do my distrust come from? Is everybody else seeing all the dysfunctions and all the bad things going on there, and this pastor You are over this flock. You mm-hmm. are supposed to command attention, respect, peace, everything that is godly. And you sit back and you collect tithes and you collect offering and you don't do that. That's heartbreaking to somebody who really is seriously seeking God, you know, and trying to live a good life. So for me at 44, I just turned another year. That's hard. I personally just moved. I'm not looking for a church right now because mm-hmm. that's a scary thing for me to go and invest my time and dollars possibly for what, another letdown? So I can kind of understand where she's coming from. I mean,
thank you so much.
Okay. All right. Okay. Let me do this. anything you want to say there? I think that's Brother Charles, 1080. Or you're still just listening in, Charles. Any questions or comments so far? Brother Charles? Okay. Perhaps he's just still listening with us. What do you say about that, Brother Bevel? There's obviously some well-documented church hurt, which leads to the distrust of the preacher. Now, I like what you're saying, 8112. I think your
and
premise
is right. And I'm crying because my heart goes out to these things. We supposed to trust the people God in the cloth. If you can't trust them, you got to go where you're supposed to be at in the first doggone places to my divine father.
Okay.
These
all
days
right.
are already
gonna,
marked. What?
8112. Before we leave tonight, I'm going to offer a solution to this trifecta that we're looking at, this problem
Please do. I need some help. Come see about me.
Okay. Yes, ma'am.
Hey,
yes, ma'am.
Mr. Dockery?
Yes, sir. Go ahead, Don. Go ahead.
Well, I'm going to say something to the young lady.
Those
ones that Mr. Dockery. Hello?
Yes, go ahead. We hear you.
I'm here in Selma, Alabama, and probably all of y'all know who my dad was, and y'all know who Dr. King was. Well, I was at Jean Jackson's house, and I asked her a particular question because she stayed at this particular house that Dr. Kingdom strategized the right to vote from, which is the house here on Lapsley. And I asked her a question. I got to Selma University, and I asked her a question. I said, did Dr. Kingdom know about Alabama Pennies and Savings Bank? And she looked at me and said, no. So the leadership, sometimes, they might not know either. You know what I'm saying?
Okay. I see. So you're saying that there may be a void of knowledge on part of the leadership. Is that what you're saying?
A great part of it is sometimes it is. And why that is so, you know what I'm saying?
Sure,
But they didn't know. They didn't know.
Now, hold on 1 second, Don. I want to explain something. I hope you, and I don't want to speak for him. He's here with us. He can speak for himself. But I hope you understand where Professor Robinson is coming from when he says, 8112, we've got to get to a point where we don't just speak out of our emotions, but we speak factually. Because that is how you ultimately hold everybody accountable for what they should do or what they're not doing.
Okay,
now, if you don't know what to expect or what should be done, it's hard for you to hold them accountable. But the more you know,
what about me? I'm saying, what about me? I'm just one of them little old people still by the grace of God on this earth, and I'm trying to find my way. So what about me? I'm asking people. If you can give me a solution to that, then I think some of my battle is almost
Professor
Doctor, can I say you're not a little old person.
No, I'm a big person than her, baby, and I stand large and tick holes down. I'm going to say everything correctly, but I speak from my heart.
Hear him out. Go ahead.
I do want to go back to something because we started off talking about young people.
Well,
and one of the solutions, Well, one of the solutions the was we need to.
No young people, because the young people without the older people cannot survive the storm.
Hey, 112, hold on. You know I love you. Hold on. Let's hear Professor Al right quick.
We started with the young people. We started with a focus on the young people, and one of the solutions was that we need to get them into the church. Now we're hearing from the adults that the adults don't trust the church or don't trust the pastor.
Mm.
And so
that's interesting.
Who are these kids? Who are the young people learning from?
Right. Right.
Yeah. Okay.
I'm going to answer that for you tonight. The last 30 minutes of the show, Pastor Waller, I'm going to tie it up for you. Some people ain't going to like it when I get through, but that is, I appreciate that observation, Professor.
That's a good,
because
that's a good observation.
Because when we started out, we said we want to put our focus on the church, then. We got to take it to the church. We got to go to God. Hold on, Professor Mika. What we're learning is that these old folks that's all washed up now, trying to find a new life. You understand what I'm saying? They want some attention too now. Now they want to go back and find what they lost from the church.
I know. You
have it both ways. But hold on, I'm gonna answer that for you. Go ahead, 37. Mika, what were you gonna say?
Well, I was just going to say, and I am totally serious, and yes, Professor, that is, man, a grand observation, and it's true. But what do you do as a parent when I've been burned, when I've been stained strong? Do I send my child in some place that I don't even think is safe for him to possibly carry on a cycle, a generation of broke, hurt, mistrust? You know, what do you do?
Okay.
You feel alone.
Great question. Don, what about that, man?
I certainly agree. Mr. Dockery, I went to Jubilee this year, and before I got to the Jubilee, I had been informed by one of my dad's pastor's friend's daughter about what Reverend Jackson had did in Memphis. But when he got here, I didn't say nothing to nobody, and I kind of agree with her. And I got a child. That's one reason I'm in Alabama. My youngest son is here. And I'm trying to get the mother to understand, do not send my child in an environment where people don't have his best interests at heart.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. I think all of those come under the same question. And 8112, you holding my hand? Okay. All right. Pastor Waller, now we're preachers on the air.
Yeah.
You see how much work we got to do, man?
Yeah, man, I like that because I wanted to share something a little earlier while I was speaking, but, you know, I wasn't done. But I wanted to kind of reiterate
about a couple of things.
No, you're fine, but I just want to kind of reiterate about a couple of things that is very highly important. You know, is according on, you know, about the church and you're talking about believe it not in the preacher and politician and different ones like that because they become pimps. Now, going into the church, after I said I wasn't always a preacher, so I go in not with pimping on my mind, but you'll be looked at just like most of them are looked at, you know, so that means I got to be in the same realm of those acting like pimps, being pimps, or wanting to be pimps, or however. And then I'm trying to get free from the lifestyle I used to live. You see, that means that now I'm being characterized as being one as well, and don't let me sound like me, or whatever that means, or look like me, whatever that means, and not to mention be one, whatever that means, and I'm not even being that. Okay?
Wow.
So it's a tough situation, man, when you're dealing with something like that. And then my friend, you know, 3072, I mean, she's so on it, man. I love how she's bringing to the table. But let me explain something to you. When you're out there doing it like the game teacher, when I was caught up.
Yeah.
See, it ain't no you rusty, you all dried up now. It ain't none of that. Because you ain't even got to get the money if you know how to talk. You see what I'm saying? See, I'm talking about one the real kind, one that kind of gonna bring it. I can be on the street corner and they're gonna bring it and give it
you
to
know.
Me in front of everybody. That's how messed
hey,
up
Pastor.
I was. You know?
Hold on,
Mick,
let him finish.
It's so sad that I was like that, that, you know, I was just glad I got out when I did, you know what I mean? And I found out how special a woman was. When I went to church and found out how special a woman was, it broke me down. You see what I'm saying?
Uh-huh.
It actually broke me down. And I'm going to say this and turn it over. Watch this and this right here. And while being in church, in my early stage, there were women in church wanted to be a part of me because they heard that I was used to be a pimp.
Wow.
Hey, I'm talking about that. They could have turned some of them out in the church. Could have turned some of them in the church. If I wanted to, you know, that's my inconvenience thing. You know, you here comes Pastor Docker with a topic like this tonight. Come on, man. Why you put a topic up like this?
Come on. I love this. Come on.
Okay.
Yeah, but you put
well,
it was
hold on. I don't think he's finished, Mika. Let him finish, then we'll come right to you. Go ahead, Pastor.
Yeah, just a little bit more. Now, I have a mother, and that question was raised, man, would you put your mother out on the street? And
wow.
I would say, no, I wouldn't put my mother on the street. So that got me and humbled me right there. And that's when
right.
I started fighting and got free from it. So, yeah, that's my deal. Come on, give me what you got, man. She's something, man.
Okay. All right. Okay.
I'm done.
Go ahead. Mika, you were trying to say something. Is she itching to say something, Pastor?
No, I was just going to say I find this very honestly funny. That is hilarious. And Pastor, I love you. Pastor Wally, you know you're my guy now. But
yeah,
I wish somebody would come up to me and try to tell me to get out on the corner for you. Okay, right. You go out there first. I wish
Hold on, Mika. Mika, hold that thought. You can say that. Mika, you can say that at 43. But just imagine if you were a little 12 or 13-year-old girl.
I could have said that at 15.
No.
That at 20.
Okay. All right, hold on. Maybe you can. Maybe you got the strength to do that. But please understand.
Okay.
That all over urban America, there are little girls, 13, 14, some of them 9 years old, looking for love in the wrong places, and they get caught up in a game
and
lost and
turned right.
out. That's how it happens.
I mean, it's just comical to me because it's so disgraceful, it's so shameful, it's so everything, and I just could not imagine. I hate that for those girls, those women that you're talking about. That hurts my heart. But I wish somebody would step to me like that. I wish you would.
But you didn't say 37-2, you didn't say nothing about you feel for the man who got turned out before they did. Remember what I said. Now, I didn't turn out before they did.
Okay.
Oh, my God.
I said they turned me out first. You know?
Okay.
I'm sorry for that, Pastor Wallace.
That's true.
No. Yeah, listen, we're doing good. I don't want 8112 to whip me, so I got to make sure I get this. You know I love you, don't you, 8112?
Hold my hand.
So I got to get this out because, no, seriously, we say it jokingly, but it's real. It's real. And I appreciate where you're coming from, Mika. But the reality is that if all of our babies knew what we know tonight,
their
lives would be improved drastically. And this is
what we're
really aiming to do, is to get the adults in the room to realize somewhere we have failed to get these communities informed and empowered with this information.
But yes,
and
I agree.
And the fact is, we can't turn the hands of time around. We won't be able to bring back the lost time. But if we can break the cycle on this March 22nd, 2018, God be praised. See, that's really what we have to look at it. We got to look at it like that. I'm not going to be able to make up, Don, for the mistakes I made. Only accept that I break that cycle for the next generation. It's about the baby.
Yes,
now.
Lord.
That's what
Yeah. I often hear Don talking about it. It's about helping the babies and helping them improve their lives. That's really
okay.
where we have to focus our attention.
Yes, sir.
Let me do
but
this.
If I may say something real quick.
Okay, go ahead, right quickly.
She touched my heart because I was a young mother. Understand
okay.
this. I had a guy yes, try to put me on the street, but my mama raised me better than that.
Okay.
And my point to you is this. I knew what to tell the young teenage daughters. I only got two daughters. And I knew what to tell them.
Okay.
All I know to say is this, and you are a man because you can't do that for no girl. You can do it for a guy. And by the grace of God, my mama did for my seven brothers, and I did for my five sons. And I'm so blessed. I keep going back to what I know because it is what it is. I live in the real world, and I talk to a lot of their friends. Whether they be selling drugs, whether they be doing what they're doing, I tell them what I say, and I say what I mean,
yeah, okay.
as I'm doing tonight. It's something that, like Pastor Wallace said, is a part of my life. And I ain't never been a prostitute, and I ain't never been on the streets like that, but guess what? I've been blessed. And I can't help but to go back to what I know because this is what I was taught.
Okay.
You stop people do as they are taught. And if you don't have
right.
a teacher in your life, and I'm talking about the young, the old, the meek, and the weak.
Okay.
That's right.
And I get weak sometimes, but I had to call on who? My divine. And it's not about doing nothing so bad. It's about keeping my heart. When
okay.
people do things to me they ain't supposed to do, I had to keep my heart humble, and I try
right.
to, and it ain't
right.
always so
okay.
young, old, meek, and withered.
Okay, let me do this.
10 toes down, and
right.
that's my suggestion, because there's a lot of kids out here who need our help,
okay.
and all the conversation in the world won't stop that. This is revelation, baby, as I know to speak of it.
All right.
And we're going to have to fight hard against Lucifer because he is who he is. He's an angel that was powerful, but he ain't more mightier than my God. Oh, hallelujah.
Right. 8112.
And I won't let him steal my joy. I'm taking
8112.
It.
8112. 8112.
That's a plan. I ain't going to say nothing.
8112.
Yes, sir.
All right. Bless you, ma'am. Let me do this in the interest of the panel here, and I wanted
okay.
to make sure we get the information out. Now, so I hear somebody's baby in the background.
Mine. I'm trying to put him out. He won't go.
Okay, he won't go. All right. So here's the deal. Now, we've talked a lot about the nature of the problem, okay? And I'm going to offer a suggestion about a step, and I'm speaking now from the position yet again of one who has served in the position of pastor or preacher as well as a political figure. Having done so, I understand where the gap is and what's missing. Professor, I understand why it is people have lost trust, respect, and admiration for those roles. But more importantly, I understand what's missing. And it is the fact that from the very beginning, you, now 8112 asked me, what can she do? And it's not just her, but what we all can do is recognize the fact that if there is a preacher or a church institution, if the government, they all rely on the people or the congregants in the church or the members of the community or the voters. You must seek to know what the truth is. And Pastor Waller will tell you that if you know the truth, it'll make you free.
Yes, it
now,
will.
The truth is that even in these urban neighborhoods, the real hope is in stopping and understanding that The preacher can only, the preacher's job is to introduce you and to provide you the information and the knowledge about the theology or the belief or the faith and your relationship and worship with the Creator. It's on you to do that, though. And when the preacher's wrong, if the preacher's wrong, he must be set down. He must be set down. Now, when it comes to the politician, if the politician is not doing what is necessary to provide for their constituents, you, the voter, you and the other folk need to be unified in your efforts to sit him down, him or her down. But you need to know what their expectations are and what your rights are as a citizen. When they're wrong, they can be set. I had a young man ask me, says, what you going to do about these police killing people? I said, you know, if I'm elected your councilman, the police, I'm one of those that vote the police budget, and if a police officer is wrong, he needs to be set down. He needs to be taken off the force. That's the bottom line. But you need to know what your rights are. What happens is people get angry and frustrated, and they strike out in violence, and they strike out in ways that are illegal, and they get caught up in the system, basically. Oftentimes you get mad at church, and you blame everybody associated with the church when you got one person that probably ain't got no business in the pulpit in the first place. If you hustling folk and you playing the role of a pimp behind the pulpit, you need to sit down. If you pimping people in public office, you need to sit down. And if you pimping little girls out,
they don't sit down. They don't sit down. The people, they don't sit down. They don't sit down.
Who don't sit down? Who don't sit down?
Why don't they?
Why don't they sit down?
Why don't they? Because they
you keep
not
giving your money.
Out.
No, you keep giving your
why
money.
Why don't you make
so,
why don't
this?
You make them sit down?
Can I say this? Can I say this?
Go ahead, right quick.
Hello? Hello?
Go ahead, Mika.
I personally don't have that problem. Because I don't put my money in places that I don't believe in, so I don't
so
even go in there.
You. So we're not talking about.
But
you right
I, my point is, I can't go there anyway because nobody else, one person can't do it, because nobody else is helping to sit them down.
I think what you're missing from what I'm saying right now. Mika, is that what I'm suggesting to you is before you go back, have a conversation with your neighbors and your friends, and you let them know that you can make them sit down, and you need to do that. Mm-hmm. Now, who is it that's going to be interested in that? The people that are suffering, that are hurting. These mothers that are wondering why their children keep dying in the streets and getting locked up and what have you, somebody needs to tell them the truth. It's because people have failed. First of all, we need to get back where families, the family unit is back together where the father and the mother are raising children in the fear and the admonition of the Lord. That's first
but,
part right there.
May I say
Mr.
this?
Mr. Dockery.
May
Mr. Dockery.
Go ahead.
Pastor.
Hold on one second. Hold on one second. 8112. Hold on, 8112.
Yes,
Don was speaking. Hold on. I'm going to come to you, 8112. Don was speaking. Go ahead, Don.
I mean, y'all hit a keynote tonight right here in Selma, Alabama. It is sad. I'm talking about my sisters, that you have a sister that directs you in the wrong, and you go along with the wrong. I mean, that's what's wrong with Selma, Alabama right now. So when Obama came through and everybody came through, I'm going to say to my sisters, it is sad that you covering up for a sister that got your children right now in Selma living like they living. And it's a sister.
That's all over urban America.
And nobody want to say, listen, Mr. Dockery, nobody want to say nothing.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay.
So,
but your
so
point
I'm
is well
looking,
taken.
I'm hearing what you're saying now. I'm listening to what y'all saying. It's one particular sister that's controlling the whole housing thing here in Selma, and they suffering because of that.
Okay, but your point is well taken. I want you to know, Don, this has happened all across urban America. Selma is not the only place. It's right here in Nashville. It's in Peoria, Illinois.
I know that. Because I'm from Tennessee, too, but it's sad.
No. Follow what I'm saying, brother. Follow what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
What we're talking about is a national-based problem, and the solution is the people.
but the people must be
that's
educated
right.
and prepared to solve their problem. That's the point. Let me go to 8112 right quickly. You were going to say something, 8112. Mm-hmm. Are you there, 8112?
I'm here. I'm here.
All right.
And
you wanted to say something earlier.
I'm here.
Go ahead. You wanted to say something earlier.
I want to say this, is that my heart feels heartfelt because you guys have touched some really serious, serious subjects. And I take it to my heart personally because I am one of those, as you say, those people. And I understand what everybody's opinion is about, but in order to reach the children, and if you're going to just reach them by church, you can't do that all the time because a lot of kids, some of them don't know nothing about the Divine Father, and some of them
do. That's absolutely right.
And when they do, they do what they do, even though they still continue to do what we do in life. Some people can prejudge you. It don't add up in their world. In some other folks' world.
I guess.
But in my world, I'm speaking hands-on.
Okay.
As
okay.
Pastor Wallace said, he speak hands-on. I'm speaking hands-on. And I've been a pastor and I've done a whole lot of things. But I raised some kids. I raised my children. And I raised them by myself. And the only thing in this world as a mother, and mothers are very important, whether they understand that, whether your children understand that or not, they're very important. Because what's instilled in you will come out of you. Because you're going to go back one day. And my Divine Father, from what I know, said, honor your mother and your father, and a lot of kids don't even know how to do that these days, even whether they're grown or not. So my point to you guys is this. When we get through speaking theologically, or however you want to say it, I ain't the brightest person under the sun, but I ain't the dumbest either. I live life as I live from day to day and hope and pray for tomorrow.
All right. Well, we appreciate you.
We can say what we want to say on this phone, but guess what? These kids need our help. They need our help. And they need it real bad. We are living in revelations of time. It's called the end of our times, but it's called revelations as the Bible speaks. Every day I see different things going on and people don't understand. They do what they do, but guess what? You better hold on and ask for help.
Right.
I need help.
Right.
Like I told you, hold my hand.
All right.
Pray
I
for me.
Hold
my
hand.
I need help. And I ain't ashamed to say it. I ain't ashamed to tell nobody I need help because my divine Father said, if you don't ask me, I will not feed you.
Gotcha.
A closed mouth cannot be fed. We can speak up on these things. But when you keep talking, if you don't ask for it, we can't help these children because we can't help ourselves.
I agree. 8112, I hate to cut you off, but we're down to our 11 minutes.
I understand it's close to time. Almost 8:30.
All right. So, but we appreciate you, and I appreciate you sharing that position. I think we've all found some usefulness in what you're saying.
I hope so.
Charles has been listening with us, and he's been a patient. Any question or comment, Charles, before we get off the air here tonight?
Based off the preacher's situation, like in the world we live in, it's like it's only so much for them to preach about without getting into trouble. So that's a problem right there. It's time to fight sometimes, and people don't want to hear that side because they're not going to do it. So it's so limited to what churches can talk about. It's like, we see the stuff going on in our face, they make new laws every day. Nobody really trying to do nothing about that. And that's the problem right there because there's so many laws against us. It leave you in the situation that we're in today, you know what I'm saying? So you can preach all day, but you ain't going to put no action. more than just going out there protesting, standing for the cause with signs and stuff like that. If you ain't going to do nothing past that, then you might as well go out and get out the game. Because if you're a real preacher, you're going to die about it. Because all the real preachers before who did something, they died for their religion. Martin King, Martin Luther, if you ain't that sort of preacher, get out the game.
Wow.
Yes, sir.
Well said.
Yes, sir.
Well said. You know, Charles, any preacher that's afraid to tell the truth needs to get out the game. If you're scared to tell the truth and stand on it, you need to get out the game. So, well said.
Yeah,
well said.
Save him. Save him.
Pastor Waller, look at the time, man. What have you done with the time?
Once again.
We want to give everyone an opportunity to have a final thought before we get out of here. I'll come to you last, Pastor Waller. Let me start with Don and Sam. Don, a final thought before we get out of here?
I'm glad I came on the thing because y'all making me really think about what's really going on here in Selma and how to work internally to make it reflect to the rest of the country because, you know, like I said, yeah, they got the right to vote, but the way they set up the political process here was to economically depress the people, and that's what I see.
Well, we appreciate you for joining us tonight on Talk Straight here. And all of our Facebook followers there as well. Any final thought there, 3072, or Professor, a.k.a. Professor Mika?
All right. I don't want the other professor to get upset because, you know, I'm on here. But, no, I enjoyed the show. I enjoyed the show, and that's a really serious topic as far as just, man, we need to try to rebuild the trust. Because the pastor holds a very key, important part, you know, in life, society, and everything else. So we need to work on that. And I love you, Pastor Waller. Don't be mad at me.
No, you know I'm better than that. You know I know you got me.
All right. All right. Thank you, Baker, for joining us tonight. Charles, final thoughts before we get out of here?
I don't, man. Okay. We're going to keep my mind on positive things. You know, we've got more positive energy. So stay positive. That's all I can say.
You know you're always welcome, my brother. You got a seat on this show, Talk Straight here, but we appreciate you. Professor,
yes,
help me bring some closure to all I've heard tonight, sir.
This has been a roller coaster ride. I enjoy it. But I'm going to do something, and I want to thank Pastor Waller for leading, and I'm going to follow in his footsteps. And Pastor Dockery, for people who make a donation, and you can determine, you know, whatever that amount is. I will donate one of my books. I don't sell my books. I give my books away to different programs. But I will donate my book, and I'll shoot you a copy, and you can put, you know, a blurb up so people can know what it's about.
Okay.
But I will do that. And the other thing is at some point, and I want to put this out there as a teaser for folks. We are looking at the ability to deliver services at the local churches, in your local church. And so as an example, you'll be able to go and get a certificate learning how to code. I want you to be thinking about that as we think about solutions and things that we want to do, and how to bring those solutions directly into communities and use the church as the vehicle, as a vehicle to make that happen.
Okay. Well, we appreciate that. And as always, appreciate
that's
you joining us. All right, Pastor Waller, you got the floor, my brother. Wrap us up here.
Oh,
man, God bless everybody who had a chance to share from the heart. And I was just meditating on the thought of how I appreciate 37 too. She just wants me to know how much you love me, and I want you to understand you worked me real hard. I mean, you worked me hard for you. And I thank you for that, because I wanted to just sit back, because I noticed it was a hot topic tonight, that the Word of God does say the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom.
Mm.
Yes, yes.
I didn't know the Lord, but once I got that information, I didn't want to live the way I used to live. And before I became a preacher, that style had been removed. So it was a beautiful thing, you know, to share a little bit of it, which I didn't want to. And once you have that fear of the Lord, then you can't help but strive to do what's right.
Yes,
you know,
yes,
just,
sir.
You have that respect for Him. Because, see, I didn't call on God when I was in the street. So when I got inside the will of God and learned a little bit about Him, you know, I turned my whole life over to Him. So I just thank you all for allowing me to share just a taste, a bit of good news. I don't want to share too much about that, because I need to teach people how to talk. You know what I mean? And there's a whole lot of things to go with that, but it just gave me a chance to get free tonight. And I thank you all for allowing me to do that. But just remember one thing. Luke chapter 1, verse 37 states very clear. It says, for with God, nothing shall be impossible. God can change only if you're willing to try Him. And so, you know, thank everybody that listened, everybody that had a chance to talk.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, I thank you for being bold enough to bring forth such a hot topic. God bless
you. It, you know, Pastor, it's growing pain. Let's look at it that way. And you and I have talked about this. No matter... And I know you often talk about how it grieves you to know the hurt you were doing, but that's the healing in your hurt, sir, to be able now to turn around and be just as adamant about improving people's lives as you were in the ignorance destroying lives. We're grateful for you, and grateful for everybody that has joined us tonight. The rest of we got a couple of more topics dealing with theology. I don't know if we can match this one here, but we got a couple of more topics dealing with theology. And hope that you all will come back and join us on Tuesday night. We air on Tuesday and Thursday nights. This is Talk Straight. This is your host, Reverend Dockery, and we're gonna leave with the OJ said you got to give the people. Got to give the people.
My.
They won't. Not what you want, preacher. Not what the politician. Not what the pimp want. But you got to get the people what they want. Thank you all again for joining us. This has been another episode of Talk Straight. Your host, Reverend Doctor. And we'll be back next Tuesday night at 7 o'clock p.m. for another episode here on Talk Straight.
Okay.
The truth and no more.